A child of God should always seek to be fulfilling His will. What pleases God most is for His creation to obey His commandments, as we see in 1 John 3, verse 22 and 5:3. Indeed, a true disciple who loves Jesus will obey His commands, just as He instructs in John 14, verse 15. But the Bible is so big and contains so many things. How are we supposed to know exactly what commands to obey? How do we discern what applies to us and what doesn't? And after all, neither your name nor mine is written in the pages of the Scriptures. Well, the answer is we have to use our reasoning and our logic in order to identify God's will for us, just as Jesus says we should in Matthew 7, verse 21. Now, fortunately, this is not difficult to understand. We must simply acknowledge three things, and those are direct commands, New Testament examples, and necessary inference. So first, let's look at direct commands. The phrase, do this, or do that, or stop in the name of the law, are all examples of direct commands. Those are imperative statements, which means something that one is obligated to obey, or they're required to perform, or expected to execute. And we can easily understand this concept because we frequently use imperative statements in our daily communication. The same applies to the Bible. There are direct commands that we must obey. For example, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "The times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now He commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent." Well, who does God require to repent? Even though the passage does not mention mine or your name specifically, we know that we are included in the word all. This means that this passage is a direct command intended not only for people back then, but also for us today. It applies to everyone. Now, another example is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you." So again, we read the words as an imperative mood, which means a command. And although Jesus was speaking to a particular crowd when He said it, this is a universal command that applies to all disciples. It's for you and for all believers. This is why and what we mean by direct commands. Now, next we have New Testament examples. So, what are we supposed to do if there is no direct command for something that we think we're supposed to do? If a direct command cannot be identified, well, we look for examples to guide us. The Bible has many of those for us to observe. There is no commandment, for example, regarding the day in which we must meet to worship God. But we do have examples. What day is mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2? Well, these passages tell us exactly what the first disciples did back in the first century. They met, as those passages say, on the first day of the week. So we can deduce from what they did, which was right and pleasing to God, as a great example for us to follow. And we can be confident that it was acceptable practice of God's will, and that by doing that, and if we do that, we will also be pleasing to Him. Now notice that we've added the words New Testament to the word example, New Testament examples. Well, this is because we're living under the New Testament law, that is, the law of Christ, Galatians 6, 2. Those are the only examples that apply directly to Christians. While the examples that we have in the Old Testament may be educational and informative, they're not binding on us today. Those are meant to be for the Hebrews, so we do not employ the practices that they exhibited. Okay, so lastly, we have what's called necessary inference. Now, inference means a conclusion that is reached based on evidence and reasoning. And we do this often, even on a daily basis in our lives. Here's a basic illustration of inference. Imagine that someone, a friend of yours, has a coin, and the coin is in their hand. And then he puts his hand in his pocket. So where is the coin now? What deduction can you make about the coin? Well, even though it wasn't stated directly, you can easily infer that the coin is in your friend's pocket because of the other information that was given. Well, the same principle can be applied to the Bible. For example, in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, we read where Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Now, if we look at the very next verse, it says, "As they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" In verse 36. So, what we can infer, that is, logically deduce from the information that was given in this passage, is through simple inference. We can conclude that baptism must have been part of the preaching of Philip. So teaching about baptism is a necessary element that we must include in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Well, that matches perfectly with what we see in passages like Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, or Mark 16, 15 through 16, and even Romans 6, 1 through 4. Now, all of these are good reference points for discerning what applies to us and what doesn't. It's important because, according to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. And what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:33 about God not being a God of confusion could also be applied to His Word. Therefore, it's not difficult to understand the Bible. We just need to use it accurately and use our mental reasoning to draw sound conclusions while considering that all the Scripture has to say about a subject is also important. That's how we know what applies to us and what doesn't.